Okay, good volume level. Hear me well? Thank you, awesome. Well, this is going to be a twofer. You get me 2 weeks in a row. So we're going to just, our scheduling works out. And it's like, you know what? Even though I'm going to set us up today, the punchline's next week. The punchline's both days. So we're going to come back and we're going to talk through that. But let's do that. As Dwayne told us, we are practically in the middle of Colossians, right? We're at the beginning of chapter 3. It's a four-chapter book. And we've heard a lot of theology. We've heard a lot of information about the preeminence of Christ. And even today, we'll talk a little bit more about the hidden treasures of Jesus. And then Paul in chapter 3 starts, as Dwayne says, kind of starts to turn a corner. Okay, this is all of this theology. Now let's talk about your walk and what you look like as a believer in Christ. So today we are in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. If you remember last week, Dr. Lentz had us zeteo. Remember that Greek word that we could be zeto, zeteo, zeteo, about five different renditions of it? It means to seek, right? So today we're going to be in verses 3 and 4 of Colossians chapter 3. And really, my title is Hidden with Christ, in Christ, by Christ, for Christ. I think we'll do, this is a short verse, so sometimes we stand up and read together. Let's stand together today. Let's all read this in unison. The Word of God, Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let's go. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Thank you. Be seated. As I was looking through this, you know, it's in standard manual, you know, what are my 3 points? What can I get? How can I organize this thought? What can I do? Can I get something that all starts with the same letter? Can I make it rhyme? No. So today we're just going to take some phrases of this scripture and use it as our talking points today. So, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ, and when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him. So guess what my 3 points are today? Today is, for you have died. You're hidden with Christ, and Christ, who is your life. Those are our 3 points today, and we will work through that as best we can. I hope I have my glasses in here. Yes, I do. Excellent. Otherwise, Chuck would have to hold it so I can see it in focus. All right. So, for you have died, that first phrase in this scripture. And this is, you know, there's therefores and buts and other things in scripture, and this is a for. For you have died. What's the for you have died part? Well, it's actually the previous verse. Set your mind on things above, not upon things of the earth. And this is the because. You set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, because you have died. Right? If I were to be kind of casual and in my age growing up, Paul could have said, dude, you're dead. Get over it. Right? For you have died to that old nature. You set your mind on things above, not on this junk around us, not on this earthly hindrances and things of the old nature, because, dude, you've died to it. Move on. That's what for you have died means at the beginning of this verse. And for you died. Died is a very deep theological discipleship training moment. There are many, many scriptures and theological eyes about the fact that you have died. We previously talked about the circumcision of the heart. You cut off the old flesh. We talked about being, you would be baptized, buried, or in Missouri, buried. It's an A in Missouri. You bury it, right? Aren't we strange? This World Cup stuff, all these people trying to speak English, and we can't speak it correctly either. You're buried with Christ, or you're buried with Christ in baptism, right? That baptism act, that spiritual baptism, you died. It was a burial of the old nature. And finally, the spiritual circumcision and crucified. We went through Ephesians. I have been crucified with Christ. All of these theological things are about the old nature of each of us. I pray some maybe still in that state here among us today. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. For those of us that are currently in Christ, hidden with Christ, you have died. You've been crucified with Christ. The Spirit, you've been buried in baptism, spiritual baptism. You've been circumcised. It's been cut off. You have died. That means you are dead to, and I love these three phrases to remind us, you're dead to the penalty of sin. When you have died, the sin death, Jesus' death paid the sin, paid the penalty. You're dead. You're free of the penalty of sin. You have died to the power of sin over you. It has no dominion over you. The old nature, it did. The new person in Christ, it doesn't. You're dead to the penalty of sin. You're dead to the power of sin. And someday I'll fly away and be dead to the very presence of sin. Right? The penalty's gone. The power is neutered. We let it back in. And the very presence of sin will be fleeing away from us when we have that day of glory and we'll be caught up in the sky with him. So, but do come back next week, because in verse 5, there's a therefore. So we got a four in verse 3, for you've died. Set your mind on things above, not on things to earth, for you've died. And then this, we're going to talk, and then in verse 5 next week, and therefore is a bunch of things that you do and don't do. So we'll come back next week. We'll do the therefore of this opening of chapter 3 next week. I do want to look forward, though, verse 5, the New Living Testament. I think we usually use ESV or New King James or various, there's versions all around here. And why are versions so important? Because, you know, it wasn't written in English. If we were a Spanish-speaking congregation, we would be using, in Espanol, using Spanish words. If we were a French congregation, we would be using French words. We would be, right, and we're an American congregation, so we're using English words. And so, but all of those English words weren't what was written, right? It's a translation of what was written, giving you the meaning of it. So, we ESV, New King, they're all appropriate. That's why each of us would come back and say, let's go back and look. What was the real word, and what did that first word, when it was first written, mean? But I have kind of discovered the New Living Testament, because hopefully you're all on like a reading plan. You know, you're on a reading plan. I just need to read the Bible. As Dr. Lance would always say, you know, when he was a young man, he got caught on it. Like, no, I haven't read it all, right? We go and read through the Bible and read through the Bible. And you know what? If you just want to sit down and just read some chapters, the New Living Testament is fantastic, because it reads. You know, you're not going to say study from it, but it's there. It reads, especially like Job. You can actually read Job and believe, hey, this makes sense. I can read this, right? So I suggest it. It's not the only thing to study from, but it's a good way to look at what the intent of the scripture was. And in verse 5, which we'll get to, this is how they put this, you're dead to the things. So put to death sinful earthly things lurking within you. Lurking. Like that word, that makes sense. There's this propensity to get back into the muck, right? You were a piglet. Piglets Waller, that's another English word, Waller, W-A-L-L-O-W, is pronounced Waller. The pig naturally wallers in the mud, right? It's what they do. But you were dead to being a pig. You're not a lamb. Lambs aren't supposed to waller in the mud. It makes them look ugly. It wears them down. It dirties up their coat, right? You have died. You're no longer, sorry, I'm calling everybody a pig. Me too. I'm no longer a pig that enjoys wallering in the mud. I have been born again. I'm a lamb of God, a child of God, a lamb in his flock. And I shouldn't be wallering in the mud. But there's this lurking inside of this, oh, that's mud. That mud looks pretty good. It was raining, the grandchildren out there splashing in the mud puddles. It's lurking within you. And we'll talk some more next week about that. But that's where we're at. The four verses at the beginning of chapter 3 are to set up all the practical instructions we're getting to. Verse 1 and 2, if therefore you've been with Christ, right, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Second verse, set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. All of these are setting our mind. It's setting us up to seek the heavenly things of Christ and not the lower, not the earthly, not the fleshly acts that used to consume us. And soon, next week, we will be told to put off the old deeds of the flesh and to put on the new things that are above. So we'll get to that some more next week, but there is an act you will do. Put it off. Put it away. Cease it in your life. Verses 3 and 4, we're instructed as to the why. There is this zeteo, right? Why we seek above. It's because the old is dead, and we are now alive and hidden with Christ. We are positioned with Christ and have the benefit of his work, allowing us to actually come along with him. We're with Christ in God. You can come along with me, Jesus says. Come with me. Come alongside me. If anyone would come after me, right? Come alongside me. And that's what he calls us to do. Romans 6 on this die thing is a fantastic chapter. We're not going to go into all of it, but we'll do some of it. So Romans 6 says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under the grace. For dude, you have died. I'm going to say it. I love dude. You're paying attention. You're going to be reading this next, a year from now, you're reading Colossians, dude. Or dudette. Sorry, I'll put all genders in. Dude is my non-gender specific word. I will say dudette if you'd like it, but I will call anybody dude. Dude, what are you doing? All right, but no, sin has no dominion. Pigs waller, lambs don't. Sin has no dominion over you. It has no power over you. You have to let it happen. The faucet thing? Right. Since you are not under the law, but you're under grace. Now, Paul explains, first off, I would say, as I talked earlier about translations and understanding translations, it's good. When you study Scripture and want to understand Scripture, it's good. Go back, look up the original meaning of words. Make sure you understand it's not an English angle that makes you think something different than what they really wanted to tell you. That's one way to help you study. The other way to help you study, and this is John MacArthur's method, use Scripture to explain Scripture. If you don't understand Scripture, read more Scripture, right? And this idea of you have died and you're separated from sin is all throughout Paul's teaching. And I love Romans 6, and it's a lot. Just read along with me. Buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, so you've died. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body that was ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been what? Set free from sin, free from the penalty, and free from the power. It has no dominion over you. Walk that way. Embrace that understanding that in Christ, the desire for sin, the acts of sin, the need to sin is not there. It has no power over you. The Holy Spirit will have power over you if you don't quench. We are separated from the impact of sin. First, we have been separated and set free from the penalty of sin. We are being separated from this power of sin. It's called sanctification. And look forward to being separated someday from the very presence of sin. As we were walking through these notes and passing back and forth, Dwayne said, you know what? I like what John MacArthur said about this. So he sent me a quote from John MacArthur. I'm just going to read it. This is what John MacArthur said. Quote, in what sense has the believer died? In the sense that the penalty for sin has been paid. The wages of sin is death, so we must die. By our union with Jesus Christ, we die the required death in Him. Thus, the penalty is paid, and sin can never claim us again. We have thus died to sin in the sense of paying for its penalty. Its presence and its power still may affect us, but it cannot condemn us. That's who you are in Christ. Dude, you died. Leave it behind. The next phrase is hidden with Christ. What a great word, hidden. Hidden means concealed. Hidden can mean contained inside, set aside, no longer seen, no longer considered. That's hidden. That's one way of hidden. And some things are hidden to not be seen again. Our old nature, the sin penalty, is hidden and no longer to be seen. Right? The obligation of your sin. Hidden away. It's hidden in Christ with God. It's no longer to be considered. Because 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You are a new creature. You've died. This is the I have been crucified with Christ. It's kind of one of the working titles I had early on was dead and alive. And I thought, but you are. You're simultaneously dead and alive. The old man is dead simultaneously with the fact that I am alive in Christ, hidden in Christ, and I'm eternally walking in what Christ has for me. It's just being revealed more and more every day. But hidden also has some other meaning, and the other part of hidden means yet to be revealed. As we were studying through Colossians, there were a couple places in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 where we discovered there were things that were hidden that were going to be revealed. In chapter 1, verse 25 and 26, it said, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery, what? Hidden for the ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. The resurrection of Jesus Christ revealed a hidden mystery that ages and ages and generations wanted to know about. And as it was God's plan, it was hidden. But Christmas came, and Resurrection Sunday came, and that which was hidden was revealed. And Acts chapter 2 happened, and the Holy Spirit filled the church, and all that was hidden has been revealed. And you, as someone who is in Christ, it's revealed to you what your Savior is. And then in chapter 2, in verse 2 and 3, it says, God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are what? Hidden. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is the how do you walk? What's it mean to be a servant of Jesus Christ? Well, it's the wisdom and knowledge that has been hidden, but is being revealed. This is the analogy, and one other hidden, I think I don't have the scripture, but it's, I believe it's Matthew 13, The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. And you go and you spend everything you have to buy the field so you can get that treasure. Right? That which is hidden in the scripture is that which you... It's both the old stuff is hidden, gone away forever. But there's hidden treasures that are being revealed. And when you're hidden with Christ in God, as it says even in the next part of the scripture, right? It said, for when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him. Things will start to appear that were hidden as you walk in Christ. This is an analogy of our life being hidden with Christ. Such a great treasure to be revealed ultimately, finally, by his return. Being hidden with Christ and God means our previous history, the old life, is over and done. And the new life, with an entirely different and glorious future, has begun. Ephesians, Paul again, using scripture to say it again, right? To put off your old self, in Ephesians 4, put off your old self, what belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through its deceitful desires. Dead to the old man. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You are hidden with Christ, and his treasures are to be revealed among you. Our discipleship process is to learn about Christ, and he fills our hearts and our minds with the wisdom of knowledge of himself. And then I wrote down, and rejoice, because the test we have, you know what a test is? It's that hard day. The test is that hard day. We walk upon this earth and we're not in heaven yet. There's still hard days. Hard days physically, hard days emotionally, hard days even spiritually, right? You're challenged. You're challenged with something. And you're tested. And for those times and those days during your sanctification process that you pass the test, he reveals himself to you. Well done, right? In Hebrew, the heart, L-E-B, leb, there's this leb, this is the heart, which is your conscience, your thinking, right? It's just part of your creation. And when you pass a test and the Holy Spirit says to you, well done, right? Then you get all prideful and say, yeah, look what I just did. No, right? What he reveals to you is his workings. Look, I'm working in you. Let me reveal to you. See, I always, you know, my children always hated tests. I love tests. I guess I'm just too much of a nerd. I love tests. I love taking tests. I love questions and answers. But you know what? You know what a test does? What the results of a test does? It tells you where you are, right? You go to a medical lab to get a test to see where you are, right? The Lord sends you through his test to see where you are. You getting a passing grade? Because the other part of his tests that he sends to you, and you stumble, and you fall on your face. You didn't fall on your face in submission. You fall on your face in embarrassment, right? You fail. It's going to happen. That stuff's lurking around us. We're going to get mud on us. We're going to fail. You know what he does then? He whom the Lord loves, disciplines and chastens every person who he receives, right? He will correct you. Now, discipline means training. Chastisement means what? Getting a beating. It hurts, right? So there, if you fail a test, if the Lord loves you, he's going to make it hurt. Because we don't want to do what makes us hurt. It's his way of training us. The hidden Christ that he's revealing us is that. Remember, what we will be has not yet been seen. 1 John 3. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Wait, John said almost exactly the same thing Paul said. How come? Came from the same source, folks. right? Holy Spirit-inspired word is telling us through John. When we see him, we're going to be like him. And you're not there yet. You're a work in progress. And he loves you. And when you do good, he'll reveal himself and say, look what how much you look like me. And when you stumble, he's going to say, you're going to look like me because I'm bigger than you are. Just as Christ was the mystery hidden from the ages, he wasn't fully revealed until after the resurrection. He walked this earth with troubles and trials, a man of sorrows, it says. But we are hidden as Christ was hidden as a man of sorrows, and one day we will be revealed. Those who have earthly sorrows right now, physical issues, mental struggles, times of strife and trouble, those hard days, hard months, hard years, he knows. There's nothing outside of his knowledge. He knows. Remember, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect when you're weak. Because we're hidden with him. And ultimately, Christ, who is your life, will appear. Christ is not simply a supplement to your life. He is not a part of your life. He doesn't have a little place in your heart. I really dislike the little picture of someone's, you know, a silhouette of a person has got this little heart-shaped hole. I got this Christ-shaped hole in my heart that Christ needs to fill. I hate that picture. You know why I hate that picture? Because the arrogance of me to say, God, I won't give you this much of my heart. No. No. Jesus is your life. Jesus is your heart. It's like, I often use you've seen those big, huge sponges that have the big holes, big huge ones, right? The big monster sponges. That's you. And before Christ, you were in this cesspool of muck. And it was running all through you. And if I picked up that sponge, all that muck got all over my arms because I interacted with you and your muck got all over me. What Jesus did, the reason I like to say salvation is in Christ. That sponge was picked, Jesus picked up that sponge, crushed it down, you died, put it in himself. You were in the ocean. That sponge is in the eternal, omnipresent. You're in Christ. And guess what that sponge is filled with now? Jesus. Every part of it. And when someone interacts with that, if I were to go pick up that sponge, what would run down my arm and get all over me? Jesus. So, Christ is your life. You're not giving him a part of your life. You're not. That's prideful thinking. Jesus is your life. He is the creator of the universe. He is the center of all life. And we are gifted by his grace to be placed in Christ. I don't ask them if they're saved. I ask them, are you in Christ? Are you submerged and mucked and completely running through every part of your being with Christ? That's what it is when Christ is your life. So as we do this and we're looking through this, remember it said, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears. Even now, Christ is appearing in your life. He's appearing little by little. Because Jesus said, let me just quote some phrases from Jesus, why we can say this. He said, let your light show shine before men. What's that light mean? Let me shine, right? He said, you are the light of the world. Then he said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. You have love for one another, right? Christ in you will start to show through. when Christ is your life, he will start to become visible in your life. He will appear. When Christ, who is your life, appears, it's a progressive appearing, folks. Last night we had a storm, and I live north of Jeff. Do you lose power? Wow, must just be my neighborhood. Okay, so my neighborhood, out of power. And we live out in the country, so if a structure in Missouri doesn't have electricity in the Ozarks, it's basically just a box. Because there's no water, there's no air conditioning, there's no heat, there's no light, there's no nothing, right? Because we run on pump and run on a well. So without electricity, it's just an empty box. So we kind of need that electricity. So I was up, I was sending in my outage report, whatever, and I was sitting in the chair waiting around, and I fell asleep. And it was about 4:30 in the morning, I heard beep, 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 stuff going on, power came on, right? And I was like, ah. You all know that, right? The power finally comes back on, you go, ah, finally, yes, right? I can live now. That's Christ revealing himself. Take that analogy. You're dark and gloomy. You're just an empty box. And the Holy Spirit shows through you. And you go, and the people around you go, ah. That's Christ who is your life will appear. We are to put off the old and put on the new, but we are to bit by bit be demonstrating the new life of Christ in which we are hidden. The glory of Christ is revealed as we are sanctified. As Christ appears in your life, you become beautiful. You know how beautiful a Christian is? When they have those eyes that are empowered and in agreement and in fellowship and discipleship from the Holy Spirit living with them. You know how beautiful that person is? You know that, right? You know those people, you look at them, you're like, that is just a beautiful person. Well, that's not their flesh. That's Christ appearing in them. Christ is who is your life is appearing in them, and they're letting Jesus shine through. Sometimes, you don't want to pat your own back, but you know, you're doing something and you're just doing life, you're just walking through life, and then someone comes and says, you know that thing you did, that was an awesome thing. And I'm like, what did I do? What did I do? I don't remember it. That's when you know you're walking in Christ. You don't even realize your impact to people. You don't even realize what love it is, what your love is oozing out from Christ, and people are just saying, you blessed my life so much. I'm like, I did? Well, to God be the glory. Thanks. Right? We can do this intentional ministry stuff, but real evidence of Christ in your life is when things happen and you become beautiful to somebody. You didn't even plan it. It just happened. Why? Because Christ is in you, and he's appearing all over who you are, and you are just love. There's coming a day. That glorious day. What's the song we sing? Glorious day. Glorious day. Someday when heaven, you know, there is a day coming. I'll fly away. There is a day coming when this scripture that we're reading that says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him what? In glory. This is another theological step, right? There is a coming time when every person who is in Christ will physically be with Christ. Let's do a couple of these scriptures real quick. Both in Thessalonians and Corinthians, this is talking about that day. There's a day coming, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry and a command, with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ, those who are dead, who are also in Christ, will rise first. Then, if any of us are still walking around, we who are alive and are in Christ, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be physically with the Lord. I've already told my we've got our grave plot set out, and we're getting ready to get the tombstone. Like and on my tombstone, it's going to have four words: waiting for the trumpet. That's going to put my headstone, Andy on, waiting for the trumpet. That trumpet. That's what's going to be on my headstone. And she's going to say, with him. No, so I'm with stupid. Yeah. So, no. All right. No. Sorry. She loves me. She does call me stupid. All right. So she calls me a brick usually. Yeah. She's, well, we won't get into that. Men have the emotions of a brick. That's what she says. All right. So, but anyway, there's a coming day. The trumpet will sound, right? And again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the same event, a couple different, behold, he says, I tell you a mystery, something that's hidden. We shall not all sleep, meaning we're not all going to be going to the grave, but we shall all, whether you were in the grave and came out, or whether you're walking on the earth and you Superman off the sky, we will all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. When? When that trumpet sounds, baby. At that last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. And the dead will be raised imperishable. Our bodies will be something that will no longer see decay. And we shall be changed. Not just physically. But that glory, that sanctification, that process. He says, my sanctification of you is progressive. And in that moment, I'm going to finish it because it's all me anyway, Jesus says. And we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. We will be with him forever. It's the theology of Christianity, right? It's not just the fact that we get to walk with Christ, but he has an eternity. And if you are in Christ, that eternity is now. You are there. Your citizenship, legally, you are already a member. You're a citizen of heaven. Even as we walk upon this earth right now. And he wants you to be a light that will shine before men so that they will give glory to the Father in heaven. A city, you set a light up so it can be seen. He wants people to see it. It's like that sponge. He wants, when you interact with somebody, he wants to get all over that person that you interact with. You should ooze Jesus. For you've died. And your life is hidden with Christ, who is your life. And he will appear. I was going to close with one. I was going to close with the story. I don't know what time it is. I don't care. I'm going to take an analogy as we move on because of this understanding. This is the setup, right? The first four verses of Colossians are the setup. This is a set. Listen, if you're resurrected, if you're with Christ, set your mind on where I am. Set your mind on earthly things. Excuse me. Don't do that. Set your mind on heavenly things, eternal things, things of Christ, things of love, not things about this earth. Now we walk up on this earth. We got to deal with lunch and, you know. Your body's going to hurt. It's not the imperishable body yet. But when we, as we go and prepare for going through the rest of Colossians chapter 3, there's a lot of don't do these list of things and do these list of things and all this sort of things. And like, how do I walk and how do I manifest Christ in me, the hope for glory? And Tracy and I, if you don't know, we have a bunch of kids. We have 8 children. And so far, nine grandchildren. And so we have, and through the last, 3 decades? Been teaching parenting classes. So a lot of my analogies, I do parent-to-child relationships. So I'm not calling you a child, even though you are a child of God, right? But in doing with children, child raising, you're always dealing with suppressing the wrong. Stop it. Don't do that. Sit down. Be quiet. Don't spill it, right? Put it, you know, you got all of these negatives. Don't stop, stop, don't stop. You know, it's like all I ever say is stop. All I ever say is, you know, be quiet. All I do is these trying to suppress that which is wrong. And we would tell our parents that are going through a class, if that's your strategy for raising your child, you're going to utterly fail. Because you're not putting anything into their heart. All you're telling them is what not to do. You're not telling them anything about what to do. Right? It's kind of like that story when Jesus said, when a strong man is possessed, and then the evil spirit is left out, and if that man stays empty, what happens? Seven more worse come because it's left empty. So as we do this, we're going to go through these stops. Yes, we want to stop the, you know, if the brother's hitting the brother, I'm going to tell him, stop hitting your brother, right? Yes, I'm going to tell them, stop. Stop doing the wrong things. But what I want you to focus on, what I want you to set your mind on, is not these things of the flesh, not these things of below, not these things of stuff to stop. I want you to set your mind on the things above, the things of love, the things of what he's calling us to. Because that's the real heart of Christ. I always use the analogy, and I call it the carry the bowl carefully, right? Here's the sample we give us. You have this child, and it's morning, and you got this bowl of cereal. And you got this little child with this bowl of cereal full of milk and Cheerios. And they got to go 10 feet to the table. What do you tell them? Right. You say, I heard it. We said, don't spill it. You said, go slow. Don't. I heard that. No. Stop doing that. See, I'm telling you to stop. What you should say is, carry that carefully. Show me how carefully you can carry that bowl to the table. I'm putting into this child what I desire of their actions. What the Lord desires of their heart to be. So I could say, don't spill it. You know, they're going to splash. All right, so, but we want to be people that say, carry it carefully. Seek that which is above. I want you to be filling your hearts with what the Lord calls you to. And we'll deal with the stops. Because, there's things that are hard, and you have to just say, you know what, stop it. And sometimes you say, I can't. And then when you say, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and I will fix you. So we'll deal with the stops. But when Christ appears in your life, and what should be appearing is look how beautifully I can carry this bowl of cereal and not a drop of milk hit the floor. Put that into your Christian walk. Seek that which is above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. We seek to do what is right. We seek to honor our God. We seek to be those that are known by our love for one another, not just that we have a bunch of don'ts. Amen? And if you're in here today and this is, you're like, whatever you just said made no sense to me whatsoever. Perhaps it's because the things of the Spirit to the carnal mind are foolishness. So I would tell you, perhaps that foolishness needs to be, you need to yield to the Holy Spirit that's calling you, and you need to be in Christ today. If you are not in Christ today, this is the day. Come and say, I yield to the Creator of the universe, and I want to die to my old self, be raised to new life, through forgiveness and the gift of Jesus Christ. For the rest of us, that is our life, and we are hidden with Christ in God, carry it carefully and walk with joy and love. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We're so thankful that you love us. We're thankful that you're with us in all that we do. We do pray, Father, that we would be such faithful followers of you, that your love will become our love. Father, that your ways will become our ways, and your people are our people, Father. We bless the name of Christ. We pray in all that we do, may you be honored. We lift our walk, even though whether we're walking through the grocery store or at work or wherever we are, Father, may we show forth your love in all that we do. and may your name be exalted here in our households and all that we do. We bless the name of Christ.